So the next on the agenda, and please let me know if you can't hear me because apparently my mic wasn't working earlier. So hopefully everyone can hear me online too. Next up on the agenda is charter schools. So the first is just an update, and this is just for information. And we do get a written report from the charter school office. It is provided by Kim Klein, Associate Secretary, at Department of Education. She is right in front of us. And do we have any questions about the written report? And I'm just going to say we do have some specific items around charter schools that the secretary will be asking for a sense. So if we can hold those questions till later. So anything from the charter school report. Okay, I'm going to take that silence for a no. So thank you. So the first thing that we have on the agenda is running through the major modification applications. This is the first one is Eastside Charter School. This is in front of us for action. The board has discussed the proposed major modifications monthly since January. Questions regarding this application were shared with Dr. Lofink as our CSAC representative. That report was posted and the link is available via our e-board site. So at this point in time, I'd like to open the floor to Secretary Holodeck. He will provide his decision on the Eastside Charter School's major modification application.
Thank you, President Sweeney. After considering the Charter School Accountability Committee's recent recommendation, I've decided to approve the major modification application submitted by Eastside Charter with the following conditions. By July 1st of 2022, Eastside will submit a detailed plan to meet the state requirement of 95% participation on all mandated state assessments for the 2022-23 school year. By July 1st of 2022, Eastside will provide a detailed instructional and assessment protocol outlining the school's instructional assessment system as intended to support a high quality educational system. By July 1st, Eastside Charter will submit a written plan for securing student medications and records and a written plan for nursing services. That plan must be approved by the department before the first student day of the 2022-23 school year. By August 1st of 2022, Eastside will submit a revised budget, which includes the rent cost for the new facility and a copy of the fully executed lease. By June 1st of 2023, Eastside will provide a written plan for student transportation, which includes a revised budget. And the final, Eastside will provide a plan for accommodating the increased enrollment if construction is delayed on the STEM hub or funding does not come to fruition for the new facility. And with those following conditions, I seek the state board's assent to the decision.
Now, before anyone makes a motion, I just wanted to open it up to members of the board. If there are any comments, questions, or items of discussion. Dr. Lipping?
Madam President, just a comment. Eastside Charter has been in operation continuously for almost 2 decades. They are pursuing a much needed construction project for a facility that is so old that I attended kindergarten there in 1954. I know I don't look at Dr. Holodeck. They have also received both community and corporate support during this process. The community support is part of the Riverside Revitalization Project, working with Teen Warehouse and receiving a $1 million plus grant from Barclays Bank. I believe that the conditions placed on the Eastside Charter will strengthen their academic and operations processes, and I am very impressed with their leadership and their strong board chair. Thank you, Madam President.
Any other questions or comments? Okay.
Reverend Powell, just a question for Secretary. These recommendations, were they as a result of the CSAC recommendations as a part of the process? Is any of these recommendations up and above the CSAC recommendations, or are they similar, or just tell me how we came about these recommendations, these
Thank you for the
these conditions, excuse me.
Yes, thank you for the question, Reverend Powell. These are recommendations. These conditions are recommendations that came directly from the CSAC meetings that occurred between CSAC and Eastside Charter School. So these were not conditions that the secretary arbitrarily or came up with, you know, individually, I should say, on in this case, his own.
Okay. Yeah, that was my question. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Powell. Are there any further questions or comments from board members? Is there a motion to assent to the secretary's decision regarding the major modification for Eastside Charter School?
Lofink, so moved.
Have a second?
Brittingham, second.
Discussion? Sonner, if you could call the roll, please.
Four.
Yes.
Reverend Powell?
I'm very sorry. I'm having a problem hearing Ms. Honor, but my vote is yes.
Thank you. Yes. All of the voting members, the motion carries. Okay, so the next on the agenda is Academia Antonio Alonza Major Modification Application. Sorry. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to repeat just where we are, just to make sure everyone heard. So the motion did carry that the board assented to the secretary's decision regarding the major modification for Eastside Charter School. And so we are now moving on to the major modification application for Academia Antonia Alonzo. And this is, again, we have been discussing these proposed major modifications monthly since January. Questions regarding this application were shared with Dr. Lofink as our CSAC representative. The record has been posted. That link is available via our eBoard site. So I'd like to open the floor to Secretary Holodick to provide his decision on Academia Antonio Alonzo's major modification application.
Again, considering CSAC's recent recommendation, I have decided to approve the major modification application submitted by Academia Antonio Alonzo without condition, and I seek the state board's assent to that decision.
Are there any comments, questions, or items of discussion from the board?
Madam President, I'd just like to make a comment. Once again, I'm channeling my inner Dr. Noble. Antonio Alonzo does great work and serves the need of the community very well. What I find troubling is that they signed the lease prior to the approval to relocate, prior to approval by the Department of CSAC, the Department of Education, and the State Board of Education. The signing of a 15-year lease, the way I viewed it in the hearings, it was that it gives them very little financial flexibility and has sort of a high break-even point they've sought to add these additional grades. And that basically would be my comment. No other comment base other than that. I just found that aspect of it troubling, that I thought possibly that we were kind of backed into that decision. And CSAC did a very thorough hearing. no stone, whatever, how you say that, no stone was unturned. I said that backwards, I understand. They asked a lot of questions. The application was like 479 pages. It was like 4 pages longer than the New Testament. Sorry, Reverend Powell. It was just a tremendous amount of work, so.
No, I appreciate that, and I'm glad that you did share that. And you, of course, are a representative on CSAC, so you do a lot of the heavy lifting, or let me say, most of the heavy lifting on these for us, so very much appreciated. And that is something that was raised just in terms of concerns around decisions that are made that potentially appear to force a decision in the long run. Not a good practice. I'm just going to throw that out there. And I'm looking forward to more conversations around charter schools so that we continue to make sure that we have charter schools that are viable and meet all three legs upon which they must be successful to be going forward. I do say that signing a 15-year lease when you have renewals every 5 years probably doesn't sound like the most fiscally responsible decision to make, quite frankly. So I appreciate you raising that, and I do appreciate the work that CSAC did to address that as well. Any further comments or questions from board members?
Well, my question is, thank you, Mr. Lofink, for bringing that to the discussion. How do we mitigate that in the future, knowing that this is won't be the, you know, the next time we'll have another situation where there'll be either a modification or expansion, or, you know, how do we put measures in place that schools are not placed in this potentially vulnerable situation, you know, with the long-term leases, and there might have something happen to the actual recreditation of the school?
I can answer this, although we do have Kim Klein here as well, and we've had a lot of conversations around this. So, Secretary, do you want to talk about this, or do you want me to?
You're welcome to address it. And I think Ms. Klein could also probably add, you know, some helpful context as well.
Okay, I'm going to speak very broadly, and then I'm going to give it to Ms. Klein to talk more specifically about this this topic. But we've spent an enormous amount of time as a board talking about charter schools. There's been a lot in front of us. Some things that we really agree with, and there are some things that I think board members have asked questions about, and rightly so, because at the end of the day, we're responsible along with the Secretary of Education, the Department of Education. So looking forward, we were working on our agenda for our next meeting and thinking about how do we nuance the process to make it better. So similar to what we did a year or two ago when we looked at the financial framework, thinking about what can we do. You know, this is something that's been around for quite some time. And as we all know, the circumstances, environments have changed, and we can always improve things. So we're going to be having a lot of dialogue going forward between board members, the Department of Education. So we're going to be trying to address some of those questions. So that's it from a very broad perspective. In a short answer, there's more to come. Ms. Klein, did you want to take that with more detail? Because you are closer to it than I.
Hi there, Kim Klein, Associate Secretary of Operations for the department. Sorry, I don't want to knock it down, but I also am not as tall as the superintendent. So this isn't an ideal situation. We addressed that with the school when they came in front of us for their application. This also isn't a typical situation that we find ourselves in. Schools are, as most times when we deal with leases, they are going to be longer in term. Most companies aren't going to be willing to lease out space for our schools, certainly this size of space, without some longer term commitment. They do have a funding out clause. So all of the owners that lease to our charter schools know that they're charters and that they have authorization periods. And so that is built into their lease. Again, the timing for this school was not ideal. They found themselves in a rather tough situation with the school that they have been leasing space from wanting to do their own expansion and essentially not being able to continue providing AAA with the space that they had been utilizing. So the school acknowledges that the timing was not ideal in alignment with their application process. We certainly expressed that through CSAC. I think what we have done, and I recently, just last week, had a conversation with all of our charter leaders and re-emphasizing the importance of the CSAC process and you know, the timing of some of those things involved with that process, but then also just really ensuring that they understand that, you know, we want them to be successful, and that we expect that they bring all of the appropriate parties to the table and really are thoughtful about their applications and what they're asking of the department and the state board.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. And what's interesting about that one is that other school that they have to make the move for is also seeking a major modification that is literally like they tried to submit as a minor modification just under that 15%, in which they would then have to go to be a major modification. So it's almost this like waterfall effect, because one school is making a modification, so another school then has to respond. So I do think that that dialogue, that recognizing the CSAC process is really important. So thank you for having it.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, so if there are no further questions or comments, is there a motion on the table with respect to the secretary's decision regarding the major modification for Academia Antonia Alonso?
Move to accept the secretary's recommendation.
Second.
Reverend Powell, I second it.
Any discussion? Ms. Honor, if you could call the roll. Mr. Brittingham.
Four.
Mr. Loafing.
Yes.
Reverend Powell.
Yes.
Ms. Sweeney.
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you. The motion carries. Okay, so the next on our agenda is Brian Allen Stevenson, School of Excellence, Again for Action. We've discussed the new school application monthly since January. Questions regarding this application were shared with Dr. Loafing as our CSAC representative. The record is posted. The link is available via our eBoard site. I'd like to open the floor to Secretary Holodick to provide his decision on the new school application for the Brian Allen Stevenson School of Excellence.
I appreciate CSAC's recommendation, and I support the approval of the new charter school application that was submitted by Brian Allen Stevenson School of Excellence without condition, and I seek the state board's assent to that decision.
Are there any comments, questions, or items for discussion from the board?
Madam President, I'm impressed that BASS was able to put their charter application on hold for a year and come back and address concerns expressed by both the State Board of Education and the Charter School Accountability Committee. That was a very thorough, very good job. Not only did their leadership address concerns, but they were able to build community support while obtaining the endorsement of 3 local superintendents, which was incredibly impressive, including Dr. Carson of Sussex Tech, who's offered to provide them with furniture. I'm also comforted by the fact that they have a short-term lease commitment on a building that was already used as a school, that is the previous Howard T. Ennis School, or the current Howard T. Ennis School of the Indian River School District. So.
No, thank you. And Dr. Noble is not here tonight, but asked me to read something. So I'm going to read Dr. Noble's comments. So this is all Dr. Noble. I would like to thank the board for giving me this opportunity to express my thoughts, even though I cannot be with you this evening. I appreciate your support during this difficult time for my family. I regret that I'm not there in person to express these opinions that are kindly shared by our president. Should anyone have any questions or comments, I would appreciate that you would direct them to me. Thank you again. This is Dr. Noble. So this is with respect to Brian Stevenson School of Excellence. I would like to commend those involved in this year's application. Over the past year, they generated a much stronger proposal than what was submitted originally and adequately responded to the concerns raised by the board last year. Most importantly, they collaborated with state-supported education partners. I'm very pleased to see this level of collaboration. I believe that BASS is offering the type of program that complements those offered by the traditional public schools in Sussex County. Sussex County Votech went as far as offering furnishings to help BASS create their school. And BASS has chosen to use a Dell Tech building, saving significant state resources. I feel that this is what can happen when a charter school addresses an unmet need, as BASS hopefully will do. In response to an email I sent to Kevin Carson, superintendent of Sussex Votech, thanking him for stepping up and providing support, he replied, "We're all here for the same reason." Therefore, I fully concur with the secretary's recommendation to support this application. She cannot vote because she's not here. I'm just making that clear. Those are my words. But I did want to express that. And again, very similar to what Dr. Lofink stated. Any other comments or questions from the board? Okay, is there a motion on the table?
Motion to accept the secretary's recommendation on the Brian Allison Stevenson School.
Is there a second?
Reverend Powell seconded.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion? If you could call the roll, please. Mr. Brittingham.
Yes.
Mr. Lofink.
For.
Reverend Powell.
Yes.
Sweeney. Yes. Motion carried. Thank you. Okay, so the next item that we have on the agenda is the Great Oaks Wilmington Charter School. The Department of Education recently convened CSAC to conduct a financial, programmatic, and compliance review of the charter school. I'm going to open the floor up to Secretary Holodick to summarize the findings and propose next steps.
On April 1st, Great Oaks Charter School had an enrollment of 255 students for the 2022-23 upcoming school year, which was 5 students short of the 80% minimum enrollment that schools are required to reach by April 1st of each year. Due to Great Oaks under enrollment, the department convened a team to conduct a financial, programmatic, and compliance review of the school. During that process, Great Oaks provided positive financial records and increased their enrollment to 262 students, which is above the 80% requirement. At this time, the department is not seeking the state board's assent to place Great Oaks under formal review, although it certainly could. It's not. Department staff will continue to meet with the school instead bi-weekly and monitor their enrollment and financial status. And then after September 30th count is done next year, 2022, the fall of 2022, if indeed the school is below 80% enrollment or trending away from being financially viable, the department will certainly revisit that decision. I hope that's not the case.
Great, thank you. Again, are there any questions or comments from board members? I do have another statement from Dr. Noble to read. But before I do that, any other questions or comments?
Thank you, Madam President. I fully concur with the secretary's recommendation. Many of us and here remember, not all of us, remember the enrollment challenges of the Delaware Academy of Public Safety and Security and the Design Thinking Academy, where we granted major modifications before they were closed. So some of us are a little bit just jumpy on some things like that. But I support the secretary's recommendation to continue to provide these kinds of supports. And I assume that that means that the department's staff is confident that the school will continue to be financially viable for this upcoming year. And that hopefully the department has the capacity to provide the support and monitoring that's needed. That's it. Thank you.
Anyone else? I'm going to read Dr. Noble, but I'm going to open it up first.
Reverend Powell, just a quick question. There were the enrollment challenges, as it indicates, and that had improved, and that's pretty clear. But when you talk about positive financial records, what were the positive trends of the financial records that suggested that there was trending in the right direction for the school?
Reverend Powell, I'm going to ask Ms. Klein to answer your question, being that she sat through the meetings along with Mr. Lofink with CSAC. She can answer that question and others regarding their current financial position.
Yep. Kim Klein, Associate Secretary of Operations Support for the Department of Education. So it's not so much a trend on their finances as much as it is an annual look at their financial viability. And so as we went through, the department convened the CSAC to do a financial and programmatic review of the school. As part of that, we looked at their current year finances, their revised budget at their April 1 enrollment, and really worked with the school. We believe that their initial revised budget was not fully reflective of some of the federal dollars that they have access to, and also not fully representative of some of their carryover balances. So through that process and working with the school, we believe that they will have approximately $1.8 million in carryover at the end of this school, which is significantly improved from the around $300,000 that was at one point reported. And so that gives us confidence that assuming their current level enrollment, which as of like 4:30 when I left the building, they had added a few more students. So they're actually at 265 today, just as of close of business today. And so we believe with that level of enrollment and their carryover funds that they will be financially viable next year. The school has also access services of the CEB through David Blumen, a former school district CFO, and Karen Thorpe, who is also a former school district CFO. So they've really engaged other financial experts and stakeholders to help them revise their budget numbers and help charter their course for next year.
President Powell, did you have another question on that?
No, that was very thorough. Thank you for that context. And it's very encouraging to see how the department and this particular school is working together for some very positive outcomes. And we're heading in a nice trajectory. So, it's apparent that you're going to be working with the school and its leadership on a regular basis to monitor that and enhance it too. So that's my only comment.
So I'm going to follow up on that because I had some questions around the financial piece as well, because in going through this coming up potentially beyond formal review meant everyone was taking a closer look again at some of the older audits. And the 2020 audit showed that on sort of the operating basis that they were over budget on most items. 2021 was better, but still overspending. And then the comments from their CPA indicated that there was going to be a gap as well. But is that what you're speaking to now with respect to not accounting for some of those federal funds?
Correct. So they do use the CPA to do their financial projections. The way she accounts for federal funds is after the expense, not the full allocation that they have received. And so when you take into account the funds that they actually have available to them, it significantly changes the landscape of their financial outlook.
So is that the person who was responsible for the 2020 audit and the 21 audit? So
they have to have independent audits. And so I'm not sure specifically what notes you may have read in the audit.
It's like page 42 or something.
Okay. So I can certainly take a look at that. So again, they have to have a private independent audit, not done by their contracted staff, but they do contract with a CPA to do their financial work and analysis. And so what that person has done and what the school leadership has done has engaged, like I said, David Blumen and Karen Thorpe, and they've kind of helped right-size some of those estimates with sharing, as opposed to looking at an expense basis being when it gets applied into the budget, they're actually looking at available funds, which is what we would expect them to show when looking at their budget planning documents.
Okay. And I'm going to actually echo what Reverend Powell said, because the idea that this is a school that we want to see succeed, getting support so that they can better address some of these problems, I think that's exactly what we want to have happen. So that's very positive from that standpoint. So thank you. I appreciate that. Any other questions or comments? And then I need to read Dr. Noble's statement on this. Okay. Again, these are Dr. Noble's comments. I appreciate Secretary Holodick's and CSAC's recommendations regarding Great Oaks. There's been a huge amount of work put into the reviews of this school over the years during which it has been open. I've been involved in all of them. Let me say that I'm still quite concerned about the future financial viability of Great Oaks, especially when the recent influx of federal funds subsides. We know that student enrollment and financial stability go hand in hand. Great Oaks has applied for and received approvals for major modifications in the years since it opened in an effort to improve its program and stabilize its enrollment. Yet the school's enrollment variances, actual versus authorized enrollment, especially in the past 3 years, have declined. Also, while the school has conducted many activities to recruit new students to achieve the authorized enrollment targets, student re-enrollment rates have decreased from 2016 through 2021 from 79% to 61%. I agree with Dr. Holodick's opinion that putting Great Oaks on formal review at this time could significantly hurt those students who are relying on this school. However, should their September 30 enrollment not reach the 80% requirement, there should be no question as to putting the school on formal review. So that was Dr. Noble. Okay, if there are no further questions or comments, actually, we don't actually need to do anything because there is no recommendation. So thank you. Thank you, I appreciate that. And thank you, Ms. Klein. I really appreciate the color that you provided to